Hello and welcome to another episode of Being High with Dualistic Unity, sponsored by Kava Brands, the THC gummies of choice for better days and better nights, legally and discreetly delivered directly to your door anywhere in the U.S., unless you live in Idaho. Sorry, Idaho. Get Kava gummies online at kavabrands.com/DU10. That's kavavabrands.com/DU10. And definitely don't forget to use code DU10 for 10% off your order.
So for today's episode, we are joined by Oren Allen. Oren is actually the marketing manager for team outreach for Curaleaf in Florida. Curaleaf, of course, is the largest cannabis company in the world.
And he's just an overall great guy to chat with. I think you're going to enjoy the energy, enthusiasm he brings to his passion around cannabis. And that really is the reason that we were so excited to chat with Oren today.
And so without further ado, enjoy the episode. Oren, thanks so much for making time for us today. We really appreciate it. We've been looking forward to having this conversation with you since I reached out. I'm not going to waste any time whatsoever. I'm just going to ask, what is it you do on a daily basis and why do you love it so much?
That's a good question. I don't even know what I do anymore. It's magical. Look, it's once I get in the car, it just happens. So I'm a marketing manager for a very large cannabis company. And I'm just going to say Curaleaf. I love them. Look, when you talk about a good company, you don't just talk about product. You talk about love. You talk about energy. You talk about all the building blocks that a company should have to love its employees, because your employees are giving you time, giving you effort of their life. You need to give to them your love, your appreciation. That's the company I work for. So that being said, what I do, I'm a marketing manager. I have a team, an incredible team that is covering the state of Florida. They educate, they talk to doctors. Everybody has an endocannabinoid system. We know that. I mean, we know this. And everybody having an endocannabinoid, the doctors don't know this. This is something that blows my mind. A doctor does not know about our endocannabinoid system. So this is where we come in. We excite them. We blow their mind. We get them asking questions. So that's what my team does. They get the doctors asking questions. We talk to the patients in store. We educate about regimens, about microdosing, about unlearning and relearning cannabis. So what I do on a daily basis, every day, I may manage a team, but I'm not happy in an office. I live out of my car. I mean, I don't live out of my car. I have a house, but in that.
Willingly.
Thank you. I live on the road. I talk to doctors every day. I'm out there visiting just like my team, because I feel you'd never want to lose touch with that. I want to know what my team is going through. I want to go through the same thing. You know, I want to hear the rejections they're getting. Let's counter them with education. Let's counter them with facts. That's where we come in. We're not myth. We're not, you know, hearsay. We're coming with peer-reviewed, double-blind studies, baby. That's how we come.
That's incredible. And I say this because I live in Canada, and for the longest time, the conservative government argument was, you know, well, we can't legalize it. There's not enough research. And then people would say, well, let's do research. And they're like, well, we can't do that. It's bad for you. And people are like, well, how does that work? And so it was just this circular thing that happened for years.
I wish Canada, you know, I wish they would have gone medical first. That's something before rushing headfirst into a market that, with proper education, you become a better consumer. You purchase more, smarter. The proper demographic needs this. And we're all the proper demographic. Sorry, go on. I apologize.
No, by all means, continue. I was actually going to ask, how is it working in Florida? Because I believe Florida, it is legal medicinally only, not recreationally, correct?
Correct. But many of the companies here in Florida look at this with a very recreational mindset. Keep in mind, every company is positioned and positioning themselves right now to be a recreational marijuana company in Florida. They're praying the bill gets passed. And currently there is a bill in the legislative, in the place where you put bills, That's just where we're going to go. It's the place where you put bills and they vote on
that place.
Thank you. It's the state place. So here in Florida, they have it as an amendment or addendum amendment. It's so it's been a long day. It's an amendment, but it's a terrible amendment because it doesn't offer licenses to minorities. It doesn't offer home grow. It caps the THC at 10%. And when people find out about this, why would they vote for it? Because they'll vote for it. Because they want recreational. Because they don't know. They don't care. And they're going to vote. And they're going to think you can change it later. This is Florida. You really can't change it later. So that being said, that's my little tidbit about what's going on with the law. Every company is positioning themselves to be recreational. In the places they buy, the retail outlets they're getting ready for. And it's terrible. Will we go recreational? So the way I say it, no, not yet. We are, and this is why. This is why I'm very simple about it. Here in Florida, much like Texas or other states like us, we are Republican. Republicans don't care about money. They care about control. And when it comes to cannabis, if you allow recreational, even at 10% cap, even at no home grow, you lose control. You open the floodgates. That's medicinal. Well, you can control it. You can have the product tested 3 times before it ever hits the market. Also, people like me are very important in an emerging recreational market. I'm here to teach you about those cannabinoids. I'm here to talk about THCV. I'm here to talk about CBGA in her acidic form, attaching not just to cannabinoid receptors, but to your nervous system, your circulatory system, getting into your stomach. This is important. This is the microbiome. This controls everything in your body. And when you rush to a recreational market, you learn nothing. We stay medicinal. We can learn about making tea. We can learn about eating cannabis raw. We can learn about juicing it, about cannabis beyond the high, beyond smoke, the balance we look for, not the high. I've been smoking my entire life and I haven't been high in a long time. I mean, I've been high, but I haven't been high in a really long time, but I'm balanced. I know this is me balanced. I have way too much energy. This is me on a calm day. I'm smoking an indica. You'd think it would knock me out, but it brings me to a place where I have incredible energy, incredible focus, and I fear nothing in speech. I'm out here. I'm mainstreaming something that is still illegal on a federal level in the United States.
Passion and enthusiasm.
I love it. I love the healing. Look, I love what it's bringing. This, I can sell shoes. I can sell phones. I can sell cars. Who gives a shit? I can sell it all and make great money, but it's not about money. I'm getting older. You know, for me, it's about my ikigai, my purpose. It's all those things that come together. I have a family. I have children. I have five kids. God, they're expensive. I feed them every other day. And, you know, it saves a lot of money. No. Joking.
I hear you. I'm a dad. I get it.
Right. But they're expensive. And dentists and this and that. So if I was paid more, it would be less worry in my life. But because of cannabis, it's less worry in my life. I don't use pharmaceutical. I use cannabis. I have terrible migraines. I use sativas, which stop the endorphin rush in my brain and allow me to then go to indicas, where I can balance out the body and have no headache at all. I deal with fibromyalgia and neuropathy. I deal with tendinitis or T-Rex disease, where I have it in both, like, you know, walking around like this and screaming, ah! It's everything hurts on me. I use a topical for that, a THC topical, for my arthritis and the tendonitis. Wow, it changed my life. A topical, how can a topical change your life? It's not just about smoking. It's not just about THC. It's the combination. And this is the most important thing to me. This is how I lost weight because of cannabis. THCV, the extended hydrocarbon, it regulates the blood sugar in the body naturally. It regulates the cytokine production of the body. Why is that important during COVID? This is another conversation entirely. But it would stop the cytokine reaction which would create COVID type symptoms. We'll talk about that later. That being said, THCV is an appetite suppressant. It doesn't make you less hungry. It makes you hungry for what your body requires. And you change the fats in your body. You change the sugars. You stop with saturated fats and sugars and this and that, and no more fast food. It's cannabis and exercise. It's cannabis and eating right. It's cannabis and changing your terpene profiles of you, changing the way your body processes food. My metabolism, I would look at food, I gained 3 pounds. I would smell it, I gained 2 more. It's like I'm bloated. I didn't even eat anything, I'm bloated because of what we're putting in our body.
So I have a question, Oren, in regards to that and just the impact. And I am Ray's been in the cannabis world industry smoking for years and years and years.
And I never knew any shit. I was raised in, I never knew shit.
I'm very new to it. I'm 28 and I'm quite new. I've been smoking more or less regularly, utilizing cannabis and exercise and whatnot. And that's why I'm loving this.
Your life with cannabis. Holy shit, I'm telling you. I'm 50. Not 50 yet. Let's not talk like that. Let's not go there. I'm not 50 yet. I'm 49 this year. I'm having issues with it. I'm having many midlife crises, but I'm broke, so I can't actually have a midlife crisis. I have no money for it. The midlife crises are expensive. Oh, God, I want a jet ski. All right. Anyways, cannabis. We are living longer. We want to live better. And through cannabis, it has kept me young. At 49, my youngest child is 4 years old. Yeah, I started over. But in that, I have energy. My body is healing with the endocannabinoid system. Not that alone, but I change the way I eat. Look, I also change the way I get high. Do you do dabs by chance?
I do not.
No.
So that's not for me. I've tried it. I forgot who I was for like 30 seconds. And then I came back down and then I went back. It was weird. That being said, I do like concentrates though. It's learning to use them differently. So I use a Puffco proxy, not promoting for them because they pay me shit. They didn't give me anything, nothing at all. It'd be nice. Hey, Puffco, how you doing? But the proxy looks like a Sherlock Holmes pipe. The reason I like it, it's a small, simple ceramic bowl. I talk about it because you open the top and the same amount that people would put and do a dab and do one hit, I'm getting 5 sessions out of. And I'm getting high, not high, but high. On a different level, where I talked about my fibromyalgia, I talked about my neuropathy, I talked about my tendonitis. I also don't talk about my ADD or my hyperactivity disorder or my bipolar. I'm none of those because of the balance that I'm getting through concentrates. I actually smoke less flower now because of the proxy. I do less edibles, I didn't say I don't do any at all. I'm just doing less. But in that, there's a balance. So anyways, I'm back.
I agree with you. I mean, that's the reason that I haven't explored dabs was just for the fact that there's almost a desire for the high to be at its peak as opposed to you getting the optimal amount of high that you can get. And to me, it's about how it changes your conscious environment, what you can do with that conscious environment. You're a little bit more relaxed. You might not be as crisp on everything, but in that you also are paying more attention to everything that you are doing. And so there's a mentality that you can learn from all of that. So no, I tend to agree with you, but that sounds really, really cool. The idea of just it being shaped like a calabash, because I've always been in love with Sherlock Holmes's pipe.
Well, and plus there's attachments for it. It's a neat thing. But I talk, and so where I talk to my elderly clientele, I show them this thing. And they're like, and what do you want me to do with it? What do I have to press? How long do I have to wait? Or let me do it more like them. I apologize, but I have to get more into character. Wait a second. Look. It's got too many buttons. I have to wait 30 seconds. If I wait 30 seconds, I got to go to the bathroom. I just can't. I look, I'm going to roll a joint. It's easy. So I learned through this, I get a different high. It heals me in a different way. It balances me in a different way. In the morning with my coffee, I might drop a little piece of chocolate in my coffee, sativa chocolate. It's actually, I don't even think it's a sativa chocolate. It's an espresso chocolate. So it doesn't really specify sativa, but if you're espresso, I'm just going to go with sativa. That would be a terpene profile. What's your terpene profile? Cappuccino.
That's great.
But it's one of our products. But in that, I'm not actually, I just realized, I'm just looking like, oh, you're wearing one of your shirts. Talk about branding.
But, have at it, dude. Have at
but
it.
But no, but one of the chocolates, I put chocolate in my coffee in the morning. And a little piece, and I just give a swirl. I wait a moment, and then a little swirl more. That balances me. And then while I'm drinking my coffee and catching up on news, I'll smoke my proxy. And the great thing is I'm taking hits out of this thing like I would a pipe. I'm sipping like a fine wine. I'm just a gentle. I'm not sucking in so hard where I'm going to pop a lung. I'm gentle about it, letting my body properly assimilate those cannabinoids at a low temperature so that I'm getting as full of a spectrum of live cannabinoids in my body so that they are live decarboxylating. They are live changing inside of me, going from CBGA, the mother herself in acidic form, and changing live into the THCAs and CBDAs and THC and CBD and CBC. And wow, now it's exciting because now it's working beyond my cannabinoid receptors. Now it's activating my supposed CB3. It takes the CB1 and CB2 together in unison to wake up the CB3. Again, this is all in research. And it's interesting, but who gives a shit? Look, we have an endocannabinoid system. It works and keeps everything in unison. And when we are not well, it's paying attention to where we are not well. So let's make it well. And a full spectrum cannabinoid product will help make it well again. Love RSOs, love live. Any rosin is the best way to smoke if you're going to smoke anything. If you're going to vape, don't vape. Don't just vape. Don't vape a distillate. I mean, we offer distillates and they're lovely. Essential oils, good stuff. But we also offer rosin. And rosin is a press. If you don't know, I mean, you guys know. I'm sure you guys know. We take the flower. We basically put it in like a giant cheesecloth type of thingy. And we press it around 200 degrees, which pushes out all the gorgeous juices. And then we remove all the particulate matter and put it into a vape, a 510, screw on, screw off, and you can vape that. Now, that's a full spectrum cannabinoid product that's doing a live decarbox in our body at low temperature. So you're getting a full spectrum cannabinoid product. Okay, sorry, go on. Actually, I go off on little tangents like this.
No, that's fine. That's why we're here. This is why it's called Being High with Dualistic Unity, because being high and being relaxed are the same thing. So how, if you don't mind my asking, did this passion come about? How did you end up on this path? How did you end up working for Curaleaf, is I believe the largest cannabis company in the world right now?
So that's interesting. It you know, I got a call. I had another, no. Actually, okay. So, all right, I'm going to narrow it down for you because I don't want to bore you with these
Take
things.
Take us way back.
Okay. Oh yeah, I will now. We are going back here. I was, I'm a grower. I'm a smoker. I've been part of cannabis my entire life. So 5 years ago, I landed here in Florida. I was on the road with my family in a 40-foot RV for the last 7 years. Not the last seven, 5 years prior to this. I was on the road. We were on the road for almost 7 years in a 40-foot pull-behind RV. My wife, myself, my two chihuahuas, and three of my children. And we stopped traveling because, well, my wife got pregnant again. I don't know how that happened. I asked her and she's like, really? Really? I'm like, really? I'm just saying. So we parked ourselves in Florida and I started working for Liberty Health Sciences, which is now Ayr Wellness, AYR. And I say nothing bad of the people I've worked for. They worked very hard to get where they're at. And that's where we leave it. I left them because I want better for me. I want better for the patients. I want better for the industry. Look, I'm too old for you to intimidate me. I'm too old for you to sell me bad shit. I'm too old for me to sell bad shit to these people. They deserve better. They deserve decent cannabis. We've gone through a lot to get where we are now. And you're paying a lot to get what you're getting now. So it better be tested. it better be good. And that's why I came to a place, I told you, with the building blocks. Change needed to happen here too. And it is. They're on top. Oh my God. I have to say I'm impressed about a company and the quick changes they make. That's the company I joined. Making huge changes in the concentrate world that they are in right now, which I don't even know if I can talk about it. VIPs today, just to tell you, like today, a product not even available on the market here in Florida, but today it is, but it's not. Only for VIPs with Curaleaf. Okay, so what that is liquid diamonds, THCA. The volatile area of bringing a product to a THCA and how quickly that can change into the other cannabinoids. So this is where cannabis terpenes have been added back into a product. Not necessarily live, but teeters on a level of just beauty and pureness. And what it does for the body is fantastic. It's an indica for me that acts like a sativa because of its cleanliness, because of how it helps open up my brain and levels out the pain. When you're not in pain, you feel better. When you feel better, you act better. When you act better, you're centered, you're controlled, you're happy. Work gets done. I don't know. That's a great way to narrow that down. Cannabis helps all the little things that help the one big thing. And that's what we need. Sometimes we need to ease the PTSD of life. We've been in car accidents. We've been fired from jobs. We've been yelled at by friends and girlfriends and boyfriends. We've been robbed. We've been cheated. Life is rough. Cannabis takes that edge off just a little bit and reminds us that we're all the same. That's my love for cannabis.
And I love that because I was going to bring up, you've said in the past that we're all the same under the leaf. And I was curious if you could expand on that a little bit.
Well, I mean, when I first started with the other company I was with many moons ago now, it feels like many moons, many, many moons in a call center in the middle of a forest, watching deer run across thinking, I swear to God, I saw Bigfoot. I was high. I was pretty high. But I was in a little container, in the middle of a farm in Florida, in Alachua County, and a hurricane once hit us. And that's crazy. Anyways, but I'm in this container talking to patients on the phone. And I swear to God, I thought I saw a Bigfoot run across. But I was talking to an FBI agent that retired. And the first thing he was like, listen, I know I've done a lot of bad shit. And if I tell you, it's probably going to piss you off and you're not going to tell me how I can heal from cannabis. I'm like, so, okay, let me just let you know one thing. As cannabis, we don't give a shit. I mean, we do. You're screw you for what you've done, but you also need healing. You need help and you need a giant hug. You need the hug of us, the community of cannabis. And I always talk community of cannabis because without it, we're just a plant that nobody knows enough about. We're just a plant that can get lost in the books of botanical plants out there that like ginger and hibiscus and rose hip and tip or whatever it's called. But in that, cannabis can be put aside next to what is it? I think it's frostwort, which also has cannabinoids in it. So why cannabis? Why so special? Because of the community around it. And when you come to that community, we love you. We help teach you. We help guide you. It's beyond just, hey, get high. No. When we used to get together years ago before COVID. Oh my God, I say that. But we got together and this is where we learned. We'd get together in our little powwows and eat our roast beef sandwiches that we're dipping in au jus. I don't know, long story behind that. But that being said, we would talk, we would smoke, we would learn. And we welcomed everybody in. So this FBI dude, I taught him about healing himself. His first problem was sleep. And so we look at sleep. What is it nerve pain? Is it bone pain? Is it mind? Is it muscle? Is it restless leg? Let's find out why. And then let's talk about cannabis. I never sleep. But for me, it's pain that keeps me awake, nerve pain. And indicas will just relax my mind and my muscles, but I'm still awake going 1,000 miles a second, never sleeping. But when I smoke a sativa at night, takes care of my nerve pain and lets my body naturally start falling asleep. This is where we do it a little differently. And instead of smoking, I'll do RSO. I'll do a little RSO on my tip of my finger. I'll put it right under here so it gets into the bloodstream faster. And I'll do that an hour before I go to bed so it gets into the bloodstream. Or I'll eat one of our chocolates. Chocolates always knock me out, other than the espresso chocolate. That's great in coffee. But the coffee, I think, is coffee and cannabis, that's an important thing as well, because those together help balance a chemical imbalance for some that have ADD or bipolar. It's combination. It's all combination. Cannabis evolved with us.
So I'm curious then, in regards to that, with our shift away from cannabis as a society, you know, reefer madness and all the shit that happened in the 1930s, and then subsequent health issues, mental health issues, physical health issues. Do you think a lot of those can be tied back to our shift away from cannabis as a large component of our society?
It's a shift away from how we eat. It's a shift away from farm to table. It's a shift away. It's chemicals. It's not even conspiracy bullshit. We have stopped caring about what we put in our bodies, and we have to start giving a shit again. Stop eating. Look, I love French fries. Oh my God, I love French fries. Stop eating fast food. Take 2 seconds. And, you know, go to Publix or Kroger's or wherever you live and buy a damn sandwich. Get a hoagie. Don't eat all the bread. You know, get natural selections again. Start. Look, I'm not saying don't eat this or don't eat that. Eat smaller amounts of it. You know, it's doing things in combination. Start changing your life in small amounts. Don't make big choices. Make small choices. Do things in small ways until they become big ways. So mental health. This is something that started small. I mean, it was always big, but it's been gradually growing to a problem that as a community, we need to tackle it. We need to talk to people again and thank them for what they do and give a shit about other people besides ourselves. That's cannabis, though.
Now, actually, this is something that I'm really glad that you're on the show. So this is the second episode of Being High with Dualistic Unity. Dualistic Unity itself has been around for like a year and a bit. We've got 250 episodes, and our entire thing, it's very much how you feel about cannabis, that there's something in that that people need in their life to some degree, whether it's, you know, for medicinal reasons or mental health reasons or anything like that. Our podcast is about the fact that we're never really being ourselves. Like, we're so busy going from point A to B. We're so busy trying to get things done to mean something about ourselves. We're so busy trying to compare ourselves for a sense of value against our assumptions of other people. And all of that contributes to this ongoing pace. And cannabis really trips us up, right? Like, I love the fact that when people smoke cannabis, if they're really in control all the time, they're just like, oh, I have all these intrusive thoughts. It's like, no, that's always what you're thinking. You've just slowed down. So I love what you're saying about the community, because that's the community that we've been building for almost 2 years now, is a community of people who are just being themselves. We want to be the kind of people that you're talking about. We are working on that in just letting go of who we think we are. And so there's so much as of a component to this. And I love the fact that cannabis, by the symbolism of its mentality alone, is changing the entire face of the conversation in all of our lives.
Well, look at the VA. The VA, even right now, there was a bipartisan effort that was just put out to change some of the legislation, to change the viewpoints that our VA has towards cannabis. And my wife's parents are big advocates of the VA, not for cannabis, but big advocates in the VA. And actually, they started another program altogether. But in that, recently, her father had come to me asking for advice about cannabis. And he travels to so many different hospitals, it's up to the hospital. But with this new legislation, they want to change that and make sure that it is, again, that's mainstreaming. That's little tiny steps. Like, the NBA now is no longer testing for cannabis. The NFL is like, you're smoking already. We're not testing. These are mainstreaming efforts, but we need education. And to talk about mental health, before I sidetrack and go on to a million different things, him, mental health and cannabis and the VA and our amazing soldiers, our amazing veterans and yeah, cannabis helps ease that barrier, that barrier that when you said, what does it mean? Everybody's the same under the leaf. We welcome everybody, regardless. I mean, the leaf brings us, regardless of color or creed, we're the same. We all smoke. We all want healing. We all want love. There is no difference for us under the leaf. When we're high, we don't see the differences in each other. And there's beautiful videos out there. There's one, so all the same under the leaf. There's one with a priest, a rabbi, and a black gay atheist. And they come into the conversation all kind of like, hey. A couple of minutes in, they're blessing each other. They're hugging, they're kissing. I love it. Cannabis is the vibe. It's the energy that can save the world. Not just let us all get high and legalize, but let us use it properly. Let us use it as building material. Let us use it as air purification. Let us use it as alternatives to plastic. Let's start using our brains with the obvious choices in front of us. But I yell and I scream and they're like, but you're crazy. Maybe I'm not crazy enough. Maybe I'm not loud enough. Maybe more people need to be yelling and screaming like me, because we want a difference. We want better in our lives, for my children's lives. And I really believe wholeheartedly cannabis is that difference. Construction, medical, recreational, you know, let's make tea as a UN. Let's get them all high. Wow, look at the things we'd solve overnight. World hunger? I got this. We all got this. Don't worry.
And there's a balance too, right? Because all of that stuff, it eases the barrier, right? It just eases the barrier. And oftentimes when someone has a big barrier, that's what cannabis shows them, is their barrier. And without the barrier, but the barrier is just our false certainty. It's just our ideas. It's just our idea, my idea of me that's certain, and my idea of you that's also certain. So therefore,
you don't think about all these things that you put in front of you. Because in life, we put many masks on. We put many roadblocks in front of us to guard our emotion, to guard our heart, to guard, you know, to guard us in work. We're afraid to say this or afraid to do that. Look, the older you get less afraid to say things. I have how much time left? I'm not worried. Right. I'm here to make a difference where I won't remember it. I won't know it, but I will, because I feel it now. I feel it in my fifth dimensional soul. That's cannabis. That's people. That's love. That's, I can do and be anything. And this is what I'm choosing.
And I would say that there's power there, not just in the plant, because you know as well as I do, and you've heard the arguments against addiction and laziness and all that other fun stuff. But it's the way that you bring it across. Like, you are quite obviously enthusiastic. You don't let the plant make you a victim, is what I'm saying. You look at it as a tool. Well, that's the thing. But you had to go through a process to get there. Right. And so the way that you bring it across is coming from a state where you're like, I know it's possible for you to relax. I know it's possible for you to stop thinking about those things. And that's exactly the reason that cannabis is so very useful. But the lesson there, it's the trick in taking that with you when you're not using it or when you can't use it. Right. And so I think it's great that you're out there embodying the mentality of cannabis more than just representing the plant.
Well, no, thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate that. I, you know, but that was never the point of me was the point of just Orin, just wanted to get high. That's how it started. Look, I grew some of the best damn weed ever. My short riders are legendary. And in that, I have such a love for the plant. I traveled the country learning more about the art of cannabis. Can't say where I grew in some places, but I learned so much. And I was on the journey of not becoming a hashishin, but learning the true arts of hash and curing. And oh, it's something Florida doesn't have yet. And I mean, we're starting to, but today we're not talking. Not even near. Not even near, near. Not even near, 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 near. But it's okay. In that, we're a medical market. And I love that because we are tested. We are checked and balanced. We are accountable for our marijuana. And they allow people to learn, to become better patients, to treat themselves, to change their lives. Here, we have many aging people. We have many people retiring. One of the largest communities in the world. And they're coming off of many pain medications that they've been taking for the last 20, 30 years. Cannabis is that buffer to help them get off of that, to help them bring themselves to a better, more natural lifestyle. It's the combination.
So have you found pushback in regards to that with being involved kind of as almost a replacement for pharmaceuticals, given the investment that our country, especially our country, has in that industry? Do you get pushback from that in regard? Because I know you educate doctors, like, and so I'm curious about, because I'm sure it's got to be crazy, right?
Yes. But I've been doing this a long time. I've been a rep in Florida up until a couple months ago, becoming a manager, marketing manager for Florida for a team. It's different to have a team. And I still don't act like I have a team because I'm like, no, I'm out there. You need me in Miami? I'm in Miami. Yes, don't you worry. But I think that's good for them because I'm a very different kind of manager. I don't want to sit back. I want to help you. I want you to achieve higher goals and whatnot. That being said, wait, repeat what you said again. I'm sorry. See, I told you I go off into things.
Oh, you're good, dude. I go through it all the time. I'm pretty baked right now, so I go through that shit all the time. But in regards to the pharmaceutical industry, cannabis is
kind
of
a... Thank you. Yeah. Okay, and this is important that you ask that. I deal with many. I have one doctor specifically. I mean, I have many. I have actually, I used to have over 600 doctors on my own for the company that I worked for. But now it's divvied all around Florida to six different representatives that are doing an amazing job. So I go into offices and I have one specifically, let's use a hypothetical place, Gainesville, Florida. And there's a pain management guy out there. And for example, you know, hypothetically, he has a primary practice. So these doctors with primary practices and they're offering medical cannabis licenses, well, they're getting more kickback from their, you know, from their pain management side because they don't consider cannabis pain management. And many of them give terrible recommendations, like, you know, give terrible scripts for cannabis to their patients to make them come back, to make it difficult for them, and then to make them come back to their pain medication. But they forget, they don't realize these people need cannabis to help balance life, not just balance pain. And where these doctors don't understand, they're thinking it's just pain, but it's not. It's once you get a hold of cannabis and you see the change that can do for your life and for your body, well, then you start self-regulating. And that's where the pharmaceutical companies are afraid, because they are currently funding most of the research into them and people like Philip Morris, but they are currently funding most of the research in the cannabis. Why do they want to control that research? Because the more they can control that research, the more they can still progress their pain medications, their mind-bending pain medications, and not cannabis. So cannabis is breaking them. They've lost so much that they don't want you to know about, because then more people can be like, oh, wait, why? I mean, they're still making a fortune off us. Don't worry. Within hospitals, I mean, we are dying because of them. I lost my mother because of them, because I couldn't help her with cannabis. And it's one of the reasons I do what I do. My mother was an amazing person and she died of a blood cancer. Cannabis couldn't probably have saved her, but it could have made her live longer through happiness. It could have made her live longer through pain-free. It could have made her eat better. It could have made her see life
quality of life, right?
In beautiful ways. And that helps you live longer. Depression kills you faster. Pain kills you faster. Pharmaceuticals kill you faster.
Well, as we said the blowback before, it's not how long you live, it's how much you live, right?
Yes. Yes. 100%. And that's cannabis. Cannabis has brought new life to so many people. I love it. And pharmaceuticals have taken so much away. So where have they come in? They have fought everywhere they can. I have dealt with them in hospitals. I'm kicked out sometimes because some doctors, I visit them there. That's like, oh, this is not my practice. But I got you here. So while I've got you, you know, let's chit chat. But oh, excuse me. I get a little emotional about the mother. Mother, she was fantastic, you know. And more people have mothers that they're losing, that they want to save their hearts and their souls and their minds and their happiness. And I tell you, cannabis is a great way to supplement a little extra happiness, a little less pain, a little more joy in very difficult times. And that's one thing of cannabis. Cannabis is a million things. It's like duct tape, but it smokes better.
Yeah, I definitely don't recommend smoking duct tape by any means.
While we're on the topic of cannabis, if you've been looking to try some new cannabis gummies, then make sure you check out Kava Gummies, the THC gummies of choice for better days and better nights. And a big shout out to the federal government for delivering Kava Gummies directly to your door anywhere in the U.S. unless you live in Idaho. Sorry, Idaho. Get Kava Gummies online at kavabrands.com/DU10. That's kavavabrands.com/DU10. And definitely don't forget to use code DU10 for 10% off your order.
But the other thing that helps, and again, I love the symbolism behind it. It's not just the cannabis that's helping you as an individual, but you as an individual are also serving another purpose entirely in every ripple you create as a result of the mentality, as a result of you feeling better. You are, in fact, helping other people heal just in showing them that there's an opportunity to do so.
And that changes the world in a small way, in a tiny way. Look, I want to leave this world happier. You watch the news, you cry. Lately I'm going through a lot of emotional shit because so many people hurt. And if you can make some of them a little happier for that time period that they're here, that's a miracle. And that's what I aim for. So that's why I love cannabis. That's why I love the company I've been working for. And mental health, yes. Look, I'm all for cannabis as a buffer, as an emotional support, as an opening up, as an agent of emotional outreach, something. Cannabis helps us talk, helps us reach dark places that are hard to reach. And with cannabis, they're not that hard. I mean, I've taken some pretty hard emotional things in my life. And because of cannabis, it didn't hurt as much at the time. And it gave my mind and body time to assimilate the pain and assimilate and understand myself and the situation. That was cannabis. That's where it helped. I mean, it's hard to explain it at the time. Like, well, I got to go smoke a joint. But what is that joint going to do for me? Well, it's going to let me meditate on the situation. It's going to let me not be as emotional in that situation. It's going to let me breathe. It's going to let me think. And usually when I'm smoking a joint, others will join. And it lets us grieve together and smile together and laugh together. And that's life. We get over things together. Cannabis helps. It bridges the gap.
It allows us to get out of the way, right? Like, that's the thing, is that it doesn't necessarily bridge the gap. It's just that we stop making that gap. Just we stop thinking about the gap and putting it there every time we think about whether we're being liked or disliked or saying the right or wrong thing, right? And that's the whole point, is it's the community. It's the connection. And it's the lack of divisiveness in my own mentality. I'm just not getting in the way so I can see you and appreciate you and learn from yourself. You.
That's actually very important, because I do want to mention it. Many people that I've dealt with, some of these older people that I deal with, and older people, I'm getting up there so I can count myself, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I've had people, like when I was in the call centers, and they would call and say, look, I don't get high. It doesn't work for me. It gives me stomach pains, or it does this, or it does that. Their mentality towards cannabis is also negative. If you are fighting it negatively, mentally, cannabis won't work for you. It won't work for you until you open up your mind, body, and soul to it. And you give yourself to it and say, help heal me. Don't actually say that. Do it in a little voice in your head, you know. But you have to tell it to heal you. You can't fight it and say, it's not going to work for me. Not going to work for me. It's not working for me. It's, you know, something you're not letting it. You're not letting it work for you. Stop fighting it.
It almost reminds me, I believe there's a Jesus story where healing the leper, where he says, do you believe that you could be healed? You're healed, right? So is it just that cannabis is opening up the door, believing that you could be healed?
Using your energies of your body, your chakra, your chi, your endocannabinoid system in a magical way. I love it. But no, actually, you know, you might even be touching on deeper things there, because cannabis, look, it goes back so far in so many it was actually in the first medical teachings. I couldn't even say what that thing is called right now, but written in the first medical teachings in Japanese culture or Chinese culture. Terrible. Right now I'm terrible. Brain stopped working. It's in old writings, medical journals, but it's also in the Bible. It's also in ancient and in the Bible. And I wish I could tell you what it was called right now, but during Moses crossing, I really have my own thoughts about Moses and 40 years and 40 nights. Look. I know about getting wrong directions, and the desert wasn't that big. I've been there. You know, I know what they were smoking. He's like, take a left. Are you sure about a left? I'm about, you know, we crossed the water since we did that. It's been a while. There's so much about cannabis and the Bible and ancient teachings that we don't know about, where Jesus used it to anoint kings, where the kings were anointed in the oils of cannabis and myrrh and other things. That was some good stuff back then. Look, they saw God. So when I say that, cannabis goes back further than we even understand. And that's where its healing is. It's guttural in its healing and in its life force.
Yeah, and it does so much for us otherwise. So that was another question I had for you, Oren. Was I know you're on the medicinal side of this. I understand that you're a huge advocate for the plant as a whole and the community that's behind it. What is your involvement with the hemp industry? What's your opinion there? Because I mean, that's in terms of carbon sequestration and pulp and paper alternatives, plastics, things like that. That's got to be really exciting.
It is. It's huge. But the market is strangely oversaturated with growers and product going nowhere. And then people getting out of an industry that is going to be enormous. But because the paper industry and hemp is to save the world. Hemp is the male to our female. You know, we will use ours for medicine. You use yours for, you know, the male side for building materials and clothing and plastic replacement and biodegradable items that can be used until put into that kind of environment so they break down in 45 days. Cannabis is amazing if we give it the opportunity. So hemp is just the male counterpart. As far as smoking hemp, as far as the chemical extraction of hemp into delta 9s, delta 8s, delta 10, blah, 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 HHC, THCO, THCXY, enough! Stop it! Oh my God, you can only go so far. And you are extracting something in such small amounts that you're having to go through chemical process. And what you're smoking is that chemical process. What you're smoking is that journey that is taken. And it's not what it is anymore. It's something else entirely. Stay natural. That's why I like smoking rosin if I'm going to smoke anything at all, not a distillate. A distillate is a singular THC with botanical terpenes added back into it. A rosin is just the plant. You see the difference? And you can smoke it in a vape just the same way. Or you can do interesting, exciting things like liquid diamonds, now available. No, okay, I won't do that. But liquid diamonds, actually, THCA this right here is a neural jumpstart. THCA, while you're able, if you're able to vape it at a very low temperature and it's able to get into your system, the way it jumps into that neural center, oh, it's like I'm taking a shot of espresso, you know, or I'm juicing in the morning. I prefer the juicing out. The juicing, I feel vibrant and alive. I feel vibrant and alive. We need that sometimes. Look how much life can bring us down and dull us. We are vibrant, amazing creatures. Just need a juicing sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm actually very curious about something you said before in regards to your explanation of the hemp versus the marijuana plant. So is it, and this is, again, I'm very novice to this. So is cannabis marijuana the female, or is that a representation of all of it? And I know hemp is the male side of it, but I had another question, but I was just curious about that. Is that,
well, I mean, your male marijuana is the hemp. It produces no buds. And I mean, super tiny. I mean, maybe your hermaphrodite plants, but your male marijuana produces leaf. And in that, it's not producing the buds like the female plant. It's going to be producing tons of seeds. And
so then what is the name for the female plant? Is there an equivalency? Plant,
there is. And right now, I don't know.
Oh, no worries.
But in the cannabis sativa,
it's kind of irrelevant to my question anyway. I'm curious because even just seeing something like history and historical sort of societal roles, representations we play, like as you were describing the hemp, that it's like, you know, the building stuff, the bud, the flower is more of the, you know, the softer touch, the emotional side. It almost sounds like representative of the masculine, feminine sort of energies. And we all have components of both in each, but it was just hitting me there that like history, like the fucking symbolism of everything.
Well, it's crazy. You're right. Actually, it's very interesting because when you look at the female plant of it and then the V of female and femininity, and it's actually very interesting how the male actually produces seeds, the female producing the buds. But what was crazy, I was going to tell you, cannabis evolved, right? So some say no. Cannabis was already evolving. Cannabis was already a plant, but it didn't possess all the cannabinoids that it has now. 600 million years ago, the plant began its evolution with animals. All animals on Earth have an endocannabinoid system. Insects don't. They're aliens. But no. But every animal on Earth has an endocannabinoid system that evolved with the plant. And a good way to look at this, a good quick way to be able to look at the history of cannabis, go back 30 years ago, farmers were still giving cannabis to their cows, giving cannabis to their pigs, giving cannabis to their livestock, to the sheep. And in turn, they were eating this cannabis and shitting it out. Or they were eating this cannabis and not totally processing, and we're eating these animals. Where cannabinoids are, there's a transference. I wish I knew the scientific, but farmers were giving cannabis or hemp plants, which we were growing quite well, to our livestock. And we were eating this livestock. We were eating the fields of wheat and sugar, whatever was produced on these farms. But cannabis was also produced. And in that, about 30 years ago, the government totally stopped all cannabis production, where we had a lot of disinformation really coming to a head. And they had stopped farmers from feeding because we weren't producing hemp anymore. So we weren't feeding hemp, which was a super cheap source of agricultural feed that was full of nutrients, magnesium, manganese, omega-3, omega-6, the highest protein and fiber of any plant, hemp. Hemp's amazing. So in that, we stopped feeding it. And the last 30 years, we've had Crohn's disease. The last 30 years, we've had fibromyalgia and neuropathy. The last 30 years, we have lost all the cannabinoids because we naturally have them, but we're not replacing them in our food sources. We're not replacing them in the milk that we drink or the meat that we eat. We're not replacing it. So we're getting older and we're losing them. And we're getting diseases now because our endocannabinoid system can't keep up. We're getting diseases that we didn't have before because we don't have those same nutrients. We don't have those same vitamins. We don't have those same cannabinoids evolving and developing in our bodies for the last 30 years. Just a theory.
Yeah, no, I'm with you right there. Absolutely. Probably more than you might think, but with the evolution, of course it makes sense that we evolved from thing and along with everything that was all encompassing on the earth in reality. And I'm curious, because I don't know much about the endocannabinoid system. Like, I'm curious just like if you know more about like where it exists even or that process of getting replaced by cannabinoids.
Yes and no. So I did a talk with one of my doctors on a podcast many, many, many moons ago. And he explained theoretically where the CB1, CB2 receptors of the bodies are. And I mean, so what's interesting though, is that your CB2, let's get down to the gut flora. Let's get down to the microbiome right here. This is where we find a lot of our endocannabinoid receptors but keep in mind, those receptors are working with your nervous system, your circulatory system. They're working with your stomach and your gut flora, your microbiome. These are all working in combination. But when your stomach is not talking to the CB2 or the CB1, the two of them don't work together and they don't talk to the CB3. If one thing is not working, then everything stops working properly. And we start getting issues with restless leg syndrome. Where the hell does that come from? Come on. All day long, my leg is fine. There's no shaking, no blah, 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 blah. I lay down watching TV. I'm fine. I'm going to bed. I'm thinking about shit. And my leg is like blah, 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 all over the place. I'm like, is this natural? I smoke a joint. Stops. I'm like, I mean, seriously. Are we seeing this? Just stops. Put the joint down. Everything's fine. I fall asleep. Does that tell me I am signaling something in my endocannabinoid system that's signaling my nervous system to say, enough? Oi, the guy's tired. Leave him alone. Maybe. As comical as it may seem, maybe. Maybe these things are signaling. Maybe they're talking to each other. Maybe we need to realize that our body is talking to us. Our body is telling us, you need things. You know, you need turmeric. You need more garlic. You know, you need ginger. By the way, these are three things, very important. Turmeric, ginger, garlic, boom, boom, boom. In combination with cannabis. How? Quickly. Okay, let's make tea. Mentally make tea. A loose leaf tea blend and enough cannabis, you break it up for three joints. And a little thing that you put the loose leaf tea blend in. What would that be? Like a little pot. Like a loose leaf tea blend pot that you close up and you can steep. Ah, a steeping thing. So you put your loose cannabis, you put your loose leaf tea blend, you put some fresh ginger in there, you put some honey in the cup, and you steep it until it's cool enough to drink. Boom. Now we're dealing with acidics. Now we're dealing with body high, light on our feet, because we need that sometimes. That's also now dealing with, I just brought in some ginger, fresh ginger and cannabis. Ginger is a vasodilator, opens up those blood vessels, gets things assimilating and processing better. Cannabis, if you can get cannabis to process within in your blood before it goes through first pass metabolism, wow. Now we're talking. Now it's going to pass through that and get to your stomach. And now it's going to coat your stomach. I eat cannabis raw. I chew it until I emaciate it in my mouth and then I swallow it. So you notice it's not just about smoking. I use it to rejuvenate my body. And I'm telling you, yes. And it changes and earlier I was saying how I look at food, I gain weight. Now I eat, I turn it into energy. I stay away from bread, stay away from pasta. I love it. I love bread too, and cheese in small amounts. But in that, I eat differently. And the food now turns into energy. Because of chewing cannabis? I don't know. Because of juicing it? Who knows? Because of making the tea? Look, I don't know, but it's really good tea. And I'm going to keep making it. But that's cannabis. as a community, we need to get back into that. We need to get back into making bombs and using the RSO to help people with cancer. You know, there's so much to touch on that people don't. And so many people now getting into cannabis are not cannabis. So people like me and you need to stay here and remind them how amazing, how beautiful, how enthusiastic this plant is.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's the mentality that you learn from it. If you can continue on with that, changes your whole life. But on the medical side, I mean, this is something I resonate with because I have pigment dysplasia glaucoma. I was diagnosed with it when I was 27 years old. I was on the verge of an optic stroke. And the only alternative was eye drops that I have to take that, of course, they don't know why they work, just that they work. So, you know, what's wrong with that? Say the experts that also don't know what causes the glaucoma, yet they still use the word expert. And so I've been using cannabis ever since I found out. I had quit for a while and I'm like, well, I know that that has an effect. And so I'm going to use that. I was actually told by a doctor, like, you shouldn't do that. You should trust the medical profession over a plant. And I just thought that was the funniest thing because it's the one thing that has, well, it's the reason that I was told I would be blind by now. And I'm actually doing far better than they ever expected I would.
So there's repair.
Exactly.
There's ocular repair.
Well, at least there's a lack of degeneration anymore. Like the degeneration has stopped entirely. And considering that my optic pressure was 3 times the normal amount and consistently getting higher, it's you know, rather a miracle in my life. But it's because I've developed
a sensitivity. You can actually have an aneurysm of like an optical aneurysm.
Absolutely. Wow. And again, the sensitivity that you learn from relaxing and being in the present is the reason that I was able to detect that I had glaucoma. They had told me that that nobody ever feels it. They find out from the doctor. I went in saying something's wrong. And they were shocked that I had felt it coming.
That is actually quite interesting. Cannabis does make us a little more intuitive. I mean, I believe it makes us more intuitive.
Oh, go exercise. Just in case, I'll smoke more. Right?
Well, what's funny,
smoke a joint and exercise. Immediately, every muscle, everything you do, you can feel it with like precision. You can just zone right into it.
Because it's actually healing the body. Look, CBN, and just to mention about CBN, CBN is an aged oxidized cannabis, THC. It's aged, oxidized, degraded THC, and it turns into CBN. CBN is a bone growth stimulant. It also stops the degenerative degradation from things like, you know, bone degenerative diseases. I'm not allowed to say which ones, but in that, we're back. I got all excited. The phone came at me. So CBN is, they say it's a bone growth stimulant, but I believe it more stops the degenerative nature of bone deteriorative diseases. So when you're talking about your ocular strengthening, this is amazing. Look, to me, this is medical cannabis. To me, just because you feel good, you shouldn't be afraid of it. You shouldn't not want it. And I have a lot of patients that'll call me. I'm like, Oren, look, it's helping with my sleep. I'm like, okay, good. Like, and it helps with my pain. And I can garden again. I'm like, okay, good. But I feel really good. I mean, I feel so good. I shouldn't feel this good.
That good old Catholic guilt, right?
Right. And it's like, this is a drug. It's a drug because I feel too good. So I tell them, don't be afraid to feel good. Don't be afraid, because that's what pain-free feels like. That is what my mind being balanced feels like. That's what less worry, less pain, less issues, less PTSD, less all of it. I don't feel it. So I feel happy and I feel good. And they're afraid of that. So that's a hard one.
Oh yeah. Because how much of it just comes down to paying attention? Like even with our injuries, right? Oftentimes chronic long-term injuries that have happened over time stem from us not paying as much of attention to both our body, but also our environment that can be hindered by, you know, the story we got inside of our head. And so the sensitivity is everything. That's more closer to the cure, right? Because if say you have knee pain and it's because you've been walking kind of off for 5 years. It's like, if you were actually sensitive to that, if you were maybe a little bit more high, a little bit, which is just a little bit more relaxed, you would have felt that subtle imbalance and it wouldn't have played out over the long term. But at the same time, you know, there's a degree of the other side that's has a lot of investment in people having issues and needing to be.
And that's where pain management people come in. Pharmaceuticals come in. They want them on the long term of that. But with cannabis, when I ask people, what is their main issue? What's their biggest problem that we need to heal? Sometimes when we heal that, many other things jump in the line. Many other things heal within the body. And long-term pain, when it's gone, it brings joy. Look, I was hit by a drunk driver in 94, and I didn't walk for a little while. And cannabis helped me walk again because it took me out of a different kind of pain and made me feel light on my feet and good. So not walking was part depression, part pain medicine, part where my brain was. And that one joint that changed my life. I was already a grower. I was already a smoker. I was already this. I was already so many different things. But I was none of those until that joint saved my life. And I got up. I was out of pain. There's a long story to it. But I got up and I was like, wow, I feel good. I mean, I feel good. I feel good. I feel good here. I feel good here. And that helped me heal everywhere. And that's what I needed. I needed that so I could walk again. I needed that so I could work again, so I could talk to people again. My energy changed. Look, I was lazy. I was lethargic. I was almost 360 pounds. And through cannabis and the combination of it, I changed the fats in my body. I eat more avocados and nuts and wheat. I drink coconut water instead of, I can't do regular water, but I can drink coconut water. It's alkaline, good for your body. I do better choices. I, you know, it's because of cannabis, I lost weight. My mental health is, life is hard. And cannabis has got me through all of it up to this point.
So I'm curious with that story too. You said there's a story that goes behind that, but it sounds like there was some shift, some serious impact that happened.
I ran out of medication. I was dying. I felt like an addict to the pharmaceutical companies. I was depressed. I was alone. I didn't want to leave and nobody could help me. And people that were helping me were out of town. And I'm like, I can't. And I called a friend of mine and I'm like, just want to come over and hang out. I need somebody to talk to. He's like, yeah, I'll be right there. I'm waiting for you to call me. So he comes running over playing video games. But I'm moaning about my life. And he's looking at me. He's like, yeah. And he's rolling a joint. I'm like, whoa. I hadn't smoked, by the way, in a while. And which was so weird for me, but I'm like, what you doing over there? I knew what the hell he was doing. And so we smoked that joint. And I looked at him and I was like, shit, I feel really good. And I almost feel better than I do on my medication. And so I restocked medication, started getting back on that. And I realized I hated it. It's like that joint woke something up in me. And it was like, no, you don't need this. You need that. But I had to understand what I was smoking because indicas destroyed me. Not all, but most, especially the ones you get on the street. They're quick, they're cheap. Indicas grow fast. Sativas. Oh, this is where everything changed for me. When I stopped being afraid of what society says about sativa and, oh, microdosed, regimented. I'm a salesman. I don't stop moving. And sativas keep me moving. They keep me pain-free or pain managed. They keep my mind balanced. Look, I have a lot going on in my head. And sativas channel. Look, I can be all out there or I can be this. That's what sativa allows me to be. And I don't know what this is, but this is that singular whatever.
Enthusiastic presence.
Yes.
Not dwelling on your idea of yourself and just throwing in for the sake of energy in, energy out, right? You don't worry about the outcome. You're just here. Let's pay attention to that. That's what I've got. And it's interesting. That's the mentality that we're learning from it. That's why it's so important to dive into that. And it is funny how there is a stigma against sativas. It's like, oh, I don't smoke sativas. It's like, it sounds cowardly.
With sativas, I think the biggest problem is that, look, I pair cannabis with wine and cheese. I think this is, I make mead, honey wine. And I make a mead with cannabis. And actually, before I started working for the company I'm working for now, Cureleaf, I used to go to them for their RSO because it was the best tasting cannabis RSO. It tastes like weed. That's what I wanted. Everybody's RSO tastes like shit. It tastes like everything but weed. But a good RSO
real
tastes
quick,
like
what is RSO? What is RSO?
Oh, Rick Simpson
for?
Oil. I apologize. RSO is Rick Simpson oil, which is a thick, viscous substance normally found in a syringe. But it's a broad, not full, but a broad spectrum cannabis product, which is very helpful because of how it attaches to the fats in the body. RSO is very helpful with cancer patients because the cannabinoids attach onto the tumors, suffocating tumor growth. And again, I'm shortening it. I'm sure a doctor will be like, no, you're getting it wrong, but you're pretty close, but you're getting it wrong. In that, RSOs are life-saving. And we should be taking RSOs regardless to be able to get, to be able to get that into our system. But I also smoke live products, which are doing a live decarbox. And I do diamonds. It sounds bougie. It is. But it's not. I mean, but it just sounds bougie. Everything in cannabis lately sounds bougie. What are you smoking? Oh, I'm smoking diamonds.
Don't ruin it.
But we're getting so bougie. We are getting so bougie with stuff. And I mean, I'll be honest, part of me is like all the names. Look, I remember back in the day, what do they call it? They call it really green shit. I mean, is there a name for it? I remember it was Kind Bud. I remember Christmas Tree Bud. We didn't have a lot of fancy names. And so now, and that's why, and I know there's a big fight between sativa, hybrid, indica, where they want to get away from that and go more to a terpene profile. You know how long it took us to get to hybrid sativa and indica? You know the fight we've been going through for this specifically? And now you want to change this shit and make it confusing? Now you want to throw all the terpenes in, which they are very important, flavonoids and terpenes. Terpene profiles, I love it. Yes, yes, they shape more than the name. But all these people getting into it, don't confuse them. Let's make it easy. And then as they get into cannabis and they're comfortable, then they can be ganjiers. They can be organjis. They can get bougie about it. But until then, take your time. Let's not make it confusing. Let's make it easy. Because cannabis is very easy. Very easy. Sorry. I'm just very emotional about it. I see it all the time. And people are like, yes, but we need to get to the roots. The roots, I tell you. I'm like, yes, I know the phenos, the roots.
Oh, we got plenty of passion here, and we appreciate it when it's matched, for sure. But in regards to that, you mentioned earlier and just now, in regards to the quality and all of those things, like, I'm just curious, what determines, you said people deserve better, higher quality, whatever, what determines the low quality versus the high quality in regards to the cultivation, the growth, or is it something else or all of it in tandem?
Yeah. Oh, I have to be very careful in that answer because it becomes the deterioration of this industry. So let's take Canada, for example. Sorry, I have to use Canada as an example. Canada, oh, Canada, I do love thee. Very clean place. Great times I've had in Canada. Okay. Quality. Okay. You've got bougie growers. You have commercial growers. You have people that want to make money and they sacrifice all for money. And then you have people that love the plant and want to make money. I love the plant. And that Midas touch of love means more than money. And it translates in the medication. You make a shortcut somewhere, you make another one somewhere else. And you'll start to pile on top of each other. And it comes out in the product. It comes out in how you treat the people. And that's how they treat the people. Look, it's all right. Product is not just, we all have product. Here in Florida, we have so many people here. Wow, wow, wow. But in that, it's how you treat the people that are treating the plants. And in turn, how those plants are then sold to the people and how those people are treating those people. So how the dispensary agents are treating the customers coming in. If they're treated like shit, they're going to treat the customers like shit. And I don't care what the fuck you're smoking, you're not going to like it. I don't care. Look, it's my journey there. Cannabis is a journey. And when I make that journey to a place and I get shit service, 9 times out of 10, I won't buy anything. Like, I'll walk in like, hey, let's buy. Woo! I'm so excited. And then I get shit service, or I get lack of enthusiasm. I get lack of anything. I want the excitement. I'm coming there to spend my money. Damn it, be excited. Be happy because you're in cannabis. You're healing, you're saving, you're changing, even in the small sale that you're making. But life is hard on bud tenders as well, especially if it's hard coming from the company. So if the company doesn't treat them right, then they're not happy. If they're not happy, they don't promote that to the customer. And so many times I've been unsold by a company. So their cannabis, but then of course the product's a big deal. But in that, if the company doesn't give a shit about its people, it doesn't give a shit about its product. And it shows all the way around. So I left a company that I felt stopped giving a shit about its people, which in turn was starting to show in the product. I couldn't back that to the people. I love the people. I am the people. And you know something? We don't have to give them shit. And we don't have to give it to them like that. We don't have to sell a product. It sells itself because it's healing. The price sells it. The love from the people sells it. You can give me every special in the book. You can make it look as good as you want to make it look. But bring it to me here. Give me everyday weed at an everyday price. So I left a company to come to another that had love, that has love, and a big heart beyond cannabis, for cannabis, for the people, for its people, so that they can show the love to others through our product, which is fire on a everyday cannabis level. We're not your bougie weed. We will never say we got good shit. The grassroots is awesome, but it's not bougie shit. It's affordable. $30 an eighth. That's our highest price right now on sale. $15 an eighth. Our normal stuff at 27%, 3% terps. Yum, yum. Look, it's not about THC. It's about the taste, the smell. It's about when you light it and you're like, this is why I get high. That's what it's about. But that comes from your customer service. It comes from the company, the product, and when I get home and smoke it. Because back in the day of buying from the dealer, I was fine driving to the dealer. And I had two different guys I was buying from. I was fine getting there. But then I'd pick up and I'd be scared driving home. And then I'd smoke so much by the time I got home that I had to go out and get more. It's like a whole mental thing. Mental, see? But now with the dispensaries, we don't have to go through that. But if I get shit service, well, now that's shit weed. And so that's for me, quality is the people. Because I want to learn. I want to feel happy. I want to come in there. And even if they don't know me, I want them to be like, hey, welcome. I'm like, hey, welcome. It's about feeling part of a community. Look, Coca-Cola did that really well back in the 90s, where they made everybody feel like, you know, part of the company. But they didn't give a shit. In cannabis, we care. You know, and some companies don't care. They say they do, and they can say it all over the place. But it shows with their people. Look at their people. And that shows you their product.
There's been a shift in the prioritization of our experience here and now, as opposed to some superficial goal, the carrot that we're always chasing. And so when you come back to the recognition that, and you know, science proves, has proven this a bunch, that it's all just energy. It's the same energy vibrating throughout reality. People think, you know, right, what you give comes back, but really what you give is just your influence on the energy of the whole. So of course it makes sense that the quality comes down to every component of it. We like to categorize things like, oh, the quality just comes down to, you know, cultivation and growing and blah, 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 blah. But when you see that that's just energy, representative energy, you are representative energy, you interacting with it is going to impact the energy. Of course.
See, that's very important. I like that you're saying that. No, it's super important. Look, it's all about energy. We are frequency and vibration. And one of the things I do preach is that if you're not happy in the world that you're in, if you're not happy in the frequency and vibration that you are currently living in. Change your vibration, change your frequency. In that, I live in positivity. I live with an overabundance of positivity, because look at the alternative. The alternative brings destruction. The alternative brings doom. Positivity brings new life, brings new energy, brings new forward motion, because it's always positive. So you're right. Look, you change your frequency for the day. You want good things to come to you, already think yourself there. Be powerful. Be the lion and lionesses that you are, but know it. Look, I believe in positive affirmations. I believe part of my morning routine is I smoke a joint. I go outside and watch the sun come up. If I'm there, if I'm already driving, I obviously can't do that. But if I'm there, I come outside, I smoke a joint, I watch the sun come up, and I do chant sometimes. I'll look at it and be like, I'm good enough. I'm not only good enough, I'm probably overqualified. You know something? Who gives a shit? I'm just going to kick ass. I'm going to kick ass all over the place today. That's what I'm going to do, because it's about energy. I'm going to feel good because I know I'm a badass. And I'm going to have an amazing day, because I'm going to help everybody in the world be badasses as well.
Well, and you've decided not to tell yourself you're not going to. All right. You've just gotten all the blocks out of the way, because you were the one that was putting them there to begin with.
You're the only one that puts the blocks there. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're the only one that puts roadblocks in front of you.
All the time, whether we like to admit it or not. Oren, I want to say thank you so much for joining us today. We do have to wrap up here, but your enthusiasm is the reason I was so grateful that you accepted our invitation to come onto the podcast. Your view on community, the importance of connection, the importance of authenticity, of actually, you know, looking at it in terms of it being more than just about yourself, but how you affect everything and just taking care of yourself. And so this has been an absolute joy. I do hope that you'll come back to the podcast. I was wondering, just because, again, the reason we introduced this is because there's a lot of knowledge that we don't have that we want to introduce to our audience. If there was one bit of really cool information about cannabis and its effect on our body or our mentality, it's up to you, that you could share with our audience, what would it be in closing?
Oh my God, that's hard. Because it's like the one thing, it's, you're like, oh God, the one thing. Okay, so love. It's the love for the plant, love for the people, love for the healing that it brings in unity, and in unity under the leaf. Look at the issues we have in life. Maybe we all need to get under the leaf and talk. So to me, that's cannabis. You know, that's the healing. That's the love. That's it.
Thank you, Oren. Thank you so much. And everybody who is wondering, you can find Oren on LinkedIn. Is there anywhere else that they could find you if they'd like to connect with you on social media?
I'm on the Insta-cha-cha and the Tiki-Taki and the Facey-Bookie. I think I'm 0420X on the Insta-cha-cha and the Instagram. And that's 0420X. And then on the, I don't know the other things. On Facebook, obviously, Oren. But on the other things, I have no clue. It's a mystery.
Awesome. Oren, it's been a blast, man. And it, you know, that recognition that you're the world. So as you change, the entire world changes. And your fucking enthusiasm is changing it. So I'm glad we're able to share some space, share some conversation with you. I'm sure we'll chat again at some point very soon. But I appreciate you making time.
Anytime you guys want to have me on, and I've got the availability, I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you a lot. Appreciate everyone for tuning in and listening to our second episode of Being High with Dualistic Unity. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.